B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Tes Zayin. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, and just we'll get back into the sugya. We learnt in the Mishnah on Tes Vav Amud Beis, Shayora Shechonso Bebiko. If you had a caravan that camped out in an open field, and an open field typically would have the status of a karmelis, what do they have to do in order to turn the area into Rishus HaYochid so that they can carry and do whatever they need to do during Shabbos? So the Mishnah told us what they can do. Says the Gemara, Nebrai Setoshima, Shayoro Shechonso Bebikor, a caravan that camped in an open field, Vihikifua, and they surrounded the area, Begmalin, with camels, Beukfois, with saddles, Beavitin, with saddle cushions, Beshlifin, with bundles, Bekonim, with reeds, Bekulchois, with stalks, vegetable stalks. Then, since bottom line, they managed to encircle the entire area with whatever it was, Metaltalin Besoicha, they can carry inside this area. Providing that the gap between one camel and the next is not the length of a gomel, of a camel, ubein ukuf l'ukuf, and between one saddle and the next, kemloy ukuf, there isn't a gap, the space of a saddle, ubein avit l'avit, and between one cushion and the next, kemloy avit, that there should not be a gap between one cushion and the next, the size of a cushion. So what do you see from here? That if it was exactly 50-50, then it would be a problem. It would not be a good Bechitza, because it says there mustn't be bein ukuf l'ukuf kamaloi ukuf, or bein gomel l'gomel kamaloi gomel. And we saw before in the Gemara that porutz ka'oimid, where you have 50% which is oimid, which is solid, which is standing, and 50% which is porutz, which is a gap, which is open, it was a machlekas in the Gemara. According to Rav Papa, it's mutter. According to Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, it's a problem. Here we have an explicit braisa that tells us that it's a problem. How is Rav Papa going to answer that? Answers the Gemara, Hochanami kishenichnas v'yetza. When it says that you mustn't have the gap between one saddle and the next, just for argument's sake, the size of a saddle, it means that the gap in between the two saddles was wide enough that a saddle could very easily go in and out, which means that it was a fraction larger than a saddle. In that case, the porutz, the gaps, are going to be that little bit wider than the parts that were not gaps, and therefore if it's porutz maruba aloimid, everyone agrees will be a problem. But in the event that you have bein gomol legomol kamaloi gomol exactly, it means it's exactly as much gaps as they are not gaps, then it would be okay according to Rav Papa. Continues the Gemara, Toshma, we're going to bring another braisa. And it's very important to remember, and Rashi points it out here, probably for this reason, that we're talking here about kilayim. And we've already mentioned previously one of the halachas of kilayim. If you have a vine, a vineyard growing on one side of a wall, then normally you're not allowed to plant certain vegetation, certain crops right next to a vine. However, if there's a wall between the vine and these crops, then you're allowed to, right beyond the wall, you can plant whatever you want to plant. There's no halachas of kilayim. The question is, what's considered a wall? What's considered a good mechitza, a good partition? Let's see the braisa. Toshema. Nimtzes ato'imer sholosh midos b'mechitzos. There are three categories of mechitzos. And now this braisa is going to be a little bit of a longer braisa, and we mustn't get confused. The braisa is going to split up all different types of partitions, mechitzos. The defining factor, the determining factor between one type and the next is how wide is the oimed part. And according to how wide the oimed is, the part that's standing, the part that's solid, that's, and according to that, we'll know how wide the gaps are allowed to be, and accordingly, the different types of gaps, what will be the halachas of the entire area on the other side of this wall, of this mechitza. Says the Brice as follows. The Sholish Midis B'Mechitzos, there are three categories. The first category is as follows. Kol Shehu Pochus Mishloisha. If the wall is made of slats, of reeds, of parts, it doesn't matter what they are, but they are less than three tvachim wide. Then Tzorich Shelo Yehei Bein Zeh Lezeh Shloisha. There mustn't be three tvachim between one piece and the next. What is three tvachim? Three tvachim is the gap needed for a kid, for a gdi, to be able to easily head first go straight through it. It's not going to be any difficult or effort for the animal to go through it. If it's three tvachim wide, then a gdi can easily go through, and then this mechitza will not be called a mechitza. And we're talking about that the pieces themselves are less than three tvachim. Now, it doesn't say here how wide the solid part is. It could be anything between a mashu, a fraction, a few millimeters, and three tvachim, not including three tvachim. So if you have a reed of half a tefach, and then you have a gap of 2.5 tvachim, the gap is much, much larger than the oimed. The porot is much more than the oimed. Nonetheless, in this group, the only determining factor is there less than three tvachim between the pieces? If there's less than three tvachim, a gedi cannot go through it, then it's called lovud. What lovud does, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, is so to speak a virtual form of extension, and it's as if the whole area is solid, as if the gaps are full. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether if the gaps are wider than the solids or not, because either way, we fill it up using lovud. And this is true only in this category. In this category where you've got very small pieces of oimed, or even if you have very small pieces or very narrow pieces of oimed, nonetheless, it can make up a wall on condition that the gaps are using lovud. That's this first bracket, this first category. The second category, kol shehu gimel. If the wall part is exactly three tvachim, umigimel adalad, or anything more than three, but less than four, tzorich shelo yehei bein ze leze kemilu'oi. Then providing that you haven't got gaps that are the same as the boards, as the solid part, if the gaps are not the same, that means the gaps are less than the oimed. If the porot is less than the oimed, then it's a good mechitza, because you've got oimed meruba ala porot. Kedei shelo yehei porot ka'oimed. And let's just stress from here, the Gemara is going to do it soon, that from here we can deduce somewhat, and it's almost explicit, that if it would be exactly 50-50, it would be porot ka'oimed, it would be a problem. This seems to be following Repuno, who says that porot ka'oimed is a problem. But we'll soon see. Ve'im hoya porot meruba ala oimed. Here we seem to be having a contradictory statement. If the porot is more than the oimed, then what happens? Af keneged ha'oimed osur. If you have walls that every piece of solid, every oimed, is up to four tvachim, but not four tvachim, in that case, if it's porot meruba mi oimed, or porot ka oimed, according to Rav Huna, then the whole area is considered as breached. It's as if there are no walls here whatsoever. Af keneged ha'oimed osur. Then even if you've got a vine growing on one side of the solid piece, then you're not even allowed to plant anything on the other side of the solid piece. If you have a piece of board 3.5 tvachim wide, and then you have a gap of 4 tvachim, or 3.75 tvachim, porot meruba lo oimed, we totally disregard even the board of 3.5 tvachim, and you're not allowed to plant anything even on the other side of this board. That was the second category. The second category, where the determining factor of whether we consider this wall as existing or not is porot meruba la'oimed, or porot ka'oimed, we'll soon see, or not. The third bracket, kol shehu dalad, any mechitza where the oymed is four tfachim wide, each piece of oymed is four tfachim wide, me'arba ad eser amos, or anything from four tfachim till 10 amos, including 10 amos, then what? Then tzarech shelo yehei bein zeh lezeh kemilu'oi, shelo yehei porotz ka'oymed. Here again, we have to make sure it's not porotz ka'oymed. V'im hoya porotz ka'oymed, if it was porotz ka'oymed, which means if you don't have more oymed than porotz, then as follows, keneged ha'oymed muta, keneged ha'porotz osur. Here, this is what's different in this category than the one before. That the one before, that the oymed part is less than four tfachim, the less than four tfachim is an insignificant area, and therefore, if we consider the whole area as not being circled because it's porot merubah me'oymed, then we totally disregard even the parts that are standing. However, if it's more than four tfachim and more, since four tfachim is significant in its own right, therefore, even if we have to disregard the mechitzos as, that means we cannot consider them as totally encircling the area because relative to the entire area, it's porot merubah la'oymed, but since the oymed themselves are four tfachim and more, they are significant, and therefore, if you have a vine on one side of the oymed, you can plant anything on the other side of the oymed. V'im hoya oymed merubah ala porot, however, and this is now true across the board, all three categories, im hoya oymed merubah ala porot, any area where the oymed is more than the porot, af keneged ha porot mutar, it's considered totally closed, the pirutzos are merely considered as doorways, as psachim, not breaches, and therefore, even if you have a vine on one side of where the openings are, you're allowed to plant anything on the other side of these openings, of the gaps. Another halacha, which applies across the board, nifratza b'yosa mi'eser, if the opening is more than 10 amos wide, then osur, it's not called a pesach, and the whole area is considered as not encircled. Obviously, keneged da'oymed will be okay, but shelo keneged da'oymed, that will not work. That means even if you have oymed merubah ala porots, but if any one piritza is more than 10 amos wide, if it's more than 10 amos wide, it's not called a pesach, it's called a piritza, and we cannot rely on the mechitzas. Another halacha, which is true across the board, and it's halacha of tsuras ha-pesach, that we've already learnt about, hoyu sham konim hadoikronim. If you have reeds or some pieces of wood with a point that were knocked into the ground, and you braid a crossbar going across the tops of all these konim, and then you've got two uprights and a crossbar that constitutes a tzuras ha-pesach, afilu b'yosa me'eser mutar. Even if they are more than 10 amos wide, since there's a tzuras ha-pesach, in Hilchas Kilayim, it's considered a good mechitza, and if there's a vineyard growing on one side of this Pesach, you can plant anything on the other side of this Pesach. This is the end of the Braisa. Now the Gemara is saying, what do we deduce from here? Ktonim Mias Reisha. What did we see towards the beginning of the Braisa? Migimel Va'ad Dalet, that from three Tfachim, that was the second category, was from three tfachim until four tfachim, excluding four tfachim. Ubilvad shelo yehei bein zeh lezeh kemilui. That was the first time where we saw that you mustn't have gaps that are the same width as the oymed, and we saw there shelo yehei bein zeh lezeh kemilui, which means there's got to be more oymed than porots. And it would seem from there that if it's exactly porots ke oymed, it would be a problem. Yuftadur of Papa, as we pointed out before, that very first line in the second category is teaching us, it seems to be teaching us, that Porot Ka'imed is Asur, like Ravuna, not like Rav Papa. Answers the Gemara, Omalachor of Papa, Mai Miluoi, Nichnas V'yotza. When it says there that if the Oymed is from three Tvachim including three tvachim, up to four tvachim, excluding four tvachim, that second category, it says there that when is it kosher if you haven't got a gap which is like the oymed, the same width as the oymed. What it means is that the gap is not such that the oymed part could very easily fit into the gap, which means that the gap is a fraction wider than the oymed, because if it was exactly the same, it wouldn't easily be nichnas v'yetze, it would be a wedge. And the fact that it's nichnas v'yetze means that the gap is that drop wider. And that's what, according to Rav Papa, that's what the braisa means. If the gap is wide enough that the oymed, the width of the oymed, could go in there easily, then it's a problem, because there it's going to be porot merubah al oymed. However, if it's porot ka'oymed exactly, then it will still be a good mechitza, according to Rav Papa. Hochanami mistabra. And we're going to prove this from the next line in the Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? Midik toni, im hoyo porot merubah al oymed. The Braisa continued and said that if the porot is more than the oymed, then af keneged oymed osur, in the middle category, where the oymed is not four tvachim wide, if porot merubah al oymed means that the whole mechitza is as if it's not a mechitza and you cannot even plant keneged oymed, when is that? When it's porot merubah al oymed. It says explicitly that it's only a problem if there's more porot than oymed, but if it's 50-50, it's okay. Like Rav Papa, ha ke oymed, if it's exactly the same, mutter, shma mino. So not only is it not a question from that first line, we even have proof to Rav Papa from the second line, that the determining factor, what makes this mechitzas possible, is not porot ka'oimed, it's porot merubah lo'imed. Leimet tehuftud Rav Huna b'rid Rav Yeshua. You're right, now that the Braisa says explicitly, v'im porot merubah lo'imed, it's all osa, which seems from there that porot ka'oimed is mutter, that's actually a question on Rav Huna that says porot ka'oimed is osur. Omer lachot, you know what Rav Huna is going to answer you? Keep reading the Braisa, you're going to get stuck as well. Ulatameich, you want to learn the Braisa that it's fitting with Rav Papa, that porot ka'oimed is mutter. And you brought me proof from the words, in porot merubah lo'oimed osur, it's only if the porot is more than the oymed, it's osur, but if it's 50-50, it's okay. Aim a sefer, keep moving down the Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? Im hoya oymed merubah al haporutz, af keneged haporutz, mutter. We saw that in the halachas at the end of the Braisa, those halachas that were not unique to any one category, we saw that there were first three categories, and then we had another three halachas that were across the board, all categories. The first one was, im hoya oymed merubah al haporutz, af keneged haporutz, mutter. That when you have oymed merubah la porots, yet the gaps are less than the part that's not gaps, then the whole mechitza is a kosher mechitza, even parallel to the gaps. And there it says explicitly, imhoya oymed merubah la porots. When is it okay? Only if there's more oymed than porots. If it's 50-50, it seems it's not okay. Well, that seems to be conforming with Rav Huna. Ha porots ke oymed, ha ke porots, if the oymed is ke porots, also. So safer, Kashila of Papa, the words of the Braisa at the end, that it's only okay when it's oymed merubah la porot, is a question on Rav Papa, who says oymed ka porot is also okay. Reisha, and the Reisha where it says that im hoya porot merubah la oymed is not okay, but porot ka oymed is okay. Kashila of Huna b'rid Rav Yeshua. See, either way we have a contradiction in the Braisa. The first part of the Braisa is conforming with Rav Papa, the second part of the Braisa is conforming with Rav Huna. And how does that work? Answers the Gemara, Sefer l'Rav Papa lo ikashya. The fact that in the Sefer it says that when it's oymed merubah la porots, everyone says it's okay, and the mechitzas are good mechitzas, it's true that those words, that oymed merubah la porots is okay, would seem to say that if it's 50-50 it's not okay, but no. Idi de tona reisha porots merubah la oymed, tona sefer oymed merubah la porots. According to Rav Papa, the beginning of the Braisa had to say porots merubah la oymed is not okay, to tell us that porots ka oymed is okay. That's the opinion of Rav Papa. Once it tells us in the Brice at the beginning, the term, the formula used at the beginning is that Porutz Meruba Me'oimed is not okay. So in order to have a similar type of formula, similar type of terminology, it says at the end of the Brice that if it's Oimed Meruba La Porutz, it is okay. But in actual fact, even if it's Oimed Ka Porutz, it's also okay. Reisha L'Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua Lo'i Kasha. We can also answer the beginning of the Brice that it should conform with Rav Huna. How? Idi de boye le misna sefer oimed meruba la porutz. According to Rav Huna, in the sefer it had to say that when is it okay? Only when it's oimed meruba la porutz. Because according to Rav Huna, oimed ka porutz is not okay. Since in the sefer it had to say oimed meruba la porutz is okay, we want to conform with that terminology, and therefore in the ratio it says that if porutz is meruba me oimed, it's not okay. Even though, according to Rav Huna, even if it's porutz ka'oimed, it's also not okay. And therefore, tana resha porutz meruba la'oimed. Continues the Gemara. And just before we read the Gemara inside, we'll notice that the three categories in the Braisa were split up as follows. You've got from mashahu wide oimed until just less than three. And there, the whole discussion is lovud. Because if it's a tiny, if you've got a reed which is an inch wide, even if you have a gap of 2.5 tfachim, it's still okay. Because you have lovud. A gedi can't walk through, so it's called lovud. If you have lovud, it's called closed. If it's exactly the same, it doesn't matter. The porot ka'imid and porot not ka'imid is not relevant here. It's you have lovud, then it's kosher. If you don't have lovud, which means the gaps are more than three tvachim, then you're going to have a problem with porot meruba la oimed or oimed meruba la porot. But the first category is there to teach us that lovud works irrespective of the piritza. Even if the piritza is much, much wider than the oimed, you have lovud. The second bracket was there not to teach us hilchas lovud, was there to teach us porot meruba la oimed or oimed meruba la porot, and to tell us, but only till four tvachim, not including four tvachim, because from four tvachim and on, we have an extra element that, since itself, the four tvachim is significant, even if we have to disregard the mechitza as a full mechitza, at least where the oimed is, it's considered a wall, and you can plant on the other side of it. That was the third category. And then we learned about how wide the piritzas can be. The question is, if the oimed is exactly three tvachim. What did we see in the first bracket? What's called lovud if it's just under three tvachim? Three tvachim is already not lovud because the gedi can go through. So what did we say in the first bracket? From any a mashahu width oimed till three, just under three tvachim. If you have less than three tvachim gap, it's okay. You have lovud. If you have three tvachim gap, you don't have lovud. You don't have lovud, the mechitza is going to be posel because it's going to be porot meruba lo oimed. Now, the question is, if you have exactly three, what's the halacha there? Is it not also true that if you have a gap of less than three, it's going to be okay? And if you have a gap of three, it's not going to be okay? I mean, it's the same halacha as in the first category. What was the halacha in the first bracket? In the first category, if the gaps are less than three tvachim, it's okay. If it's three tvachim, it's not okay. Because less than three tvachim is lovud, three tvachim is not lovud. If the oimed is exactly three tvachim, then and you have a gap of less than three tvachim, it's oimed meruba la porot, it's okay. If you have an oimed of three tvachim and a gap of exactly three tvachim, it's oimed kaporot. According to Rav Huna, what's the halacha of oimed kaporot? It's osir. So the halacha of the first category applies, according to Rav Huna, to an oimed, which is exactly three tvachim. According to Rav Papa, it wouldn't apply. Because according to Rav Papa, if the oimed is exactly three tvachim, and the gap is three tvachim, it would still be okay. It would be oimed kaporots. And then that wouldn't belong to the first category, because the first category says that if the gap is three tvachim, it's not okay. But according to Rav Huna, who says oimed kaporots is not okay, we have a bit of a question. Why is the first category talking about until three tvachim, excluding three tvachim? Three tvachim oimed is already the second category. Why is three tefachim, exactly three tefachim, not in the first category? That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Asks the Gemara, Bishlei Miller of Papa, Mishum Hachaloi Oriv Lahu, we didn't combine V'tonya Lahu, and we didn't combine the first and the second. That means we didn't combine the three tefachim, exactly Oime three tefachim, with the first group. Elolor of Huna Breider of Yeshua, according to Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua, who says that Porot Ka'oimed is Osa, Lirvinu V'lisninu. Why don't we put the three tefachim oimed with the first category and read as follows? Kol shehu pochis mishloisha. Anything that's less than three tefachim oimed. Vershloisha, or if it's three tefachim exactly. Tzorich shelo yehei bein zeh lezeh shloisha. It must be that the gap is less than three tefachim. If the gap is less than three tefachim, you have lovud, it's okay. If the gap is three tefachim, it's not okay. If the oimid is less than three tefachim and the gap is three tefachim, it's not okay because it's porot merubah lo oimid. And if the oimid is exactly three tefachim and the gap is three tefachim, it's porot ka oimid. And again, it's not okay according to Rav Huna. Put them in the same category, says the Gemara. No. Mishum deloy domi psula dereisha lepsula de seifa. You're right that halachically speaking, the halacha of the first bracket, that it's dependent on less than three tefachim and three tefachim gap, would apply, according to Rav Huna, to three tefachim oimed as well. But for a different reason. The first bracket, the concept that the first bracket is busy with is it lovud, is it not lovud? And there, everybody agrees that lovud is only till three tefachim, not including three tefachim. And therefore, all the while that the whole discussion is lovud, then we must be talking about an oimed which is less than three tefachim, and that's the discussion. Once you have the oimed being three tefachim, and the gap being a full three tefachim, then the reason that that's not okay according to Rav Huna is not because of the rules of lovud, but because of the rules of porot ka'oimed. The rules of porot ka'oimed, porot merubah me'oimed, oimed merubah me'porot, that's already a discussion for the second category. It means that halacha, it's true what we said, but the second category is discussing the halachas of what's more, oimed or porot, or are they equal? In the first bracket, all we're discussing is lovud. And therefore, even according to Rav Huna, the exact three tefachim oimed does not belong to the first bracket. Does psula dereisha kedei shelo yizdakir agadi bevasachas? The whole discussion in the first bracket is only: is it lovud? Is it not lovud? The determining factors: is it three tefachim wide? Can a gedi, a kid, easily walk through it? Psula de seifa. The second case, the second bracket in the brisa, that's discussing shelo yehi porot ka'oimed. And that's where it belongs, according to Rav Huna. Continues the Gemara. Pochois mishloisha mani. In the brisa we saw, in the first bracket, we saw that if there's less than three tefachim, it's lovud. It's a virtual type of extension of the oimed, and it's considered as if it's not a gap. Mani. Who says that three tefachim is not considered, it's up to three tefachim is lovud, three tefachim is not lovud? Rabbonon. We know it's a machlokes, the Rabbonon and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, is lovud three tefachim or is lovud four tefachim? Here, when we're talking about three tefachim, the Brice is obviously following the Chachomim. The Omrinon pochus mishloisha omrinon lovud. Shloisha loy omrinon lovud. The Chachomim say up to three tefachim is lovud, more than three tefachim and more is not lovud. Eim seifa. Let's move down to the Brice. Kol shehu shloisha umishloisha va'ad arba. In the second bracket, we say that anything that's up to four tefachim, not including four tefachim, it's a bracket of its own. What's unique about that category is that if the mechitza is not a good mechitza because it's porot merubah lo'oimed, or according to Rav Huna, porot ka'oimed, then even keneged ha'oimed, we disregard altogether. Which means that what's called a significant mechitza, Four tefachim is called significant. Also on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That seems to be following Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that says that four tefachim is significant, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel therefore says that up to four tefachim is lovud. Da Omar, pochis mi'arba lovud. Because Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that lovud, the significant measurement that you no longer say lovud, is four tefachim. Di Rabbonon, mishloisha v'ad arba, Shloisha v'arba chatu. According to the Rabbonon, who say that three tfachim is already significant and you no longer say lavud, then three tfachim should be significant for all the halachas here. And it should belong to the third bracket, that three tfachim of oimed, in the same way as three tfachim is too wide to say lavud, three tfachim is wide enough to be significant that keneget ha-oimed, even if we disregard the rest of the wall, at least opposite or parallel to the oimed of three tfachim, it should be mutter to plant kilayim there, because three tfachim is significant. Omar Abaye, so we're going to have two answers here. Abaye says, Midereisha Rabbonon, Sefer Nami Rabbonon. Everybody agrees, according to Abaye, the whole Braisa, not everybody, the whole Braisa agrees, Lovud is three tfachim, we're following the Chachomim. Umoide Rabbonon, the Kol Lemishro Kenegdoi, Yeika Mokim Arbo, Choshiv, V'iloi Loi Choshiv. Abaye says, you compare two things when you asked your question, but they're not similar. One thing is it lovud, is it not lovud? Is this considered a mechitza or not? The determining factor being, can a gedi walk through? Less than three tfachim, a gedi cannot walk through, it's called an extension. More than three tfachim and more, a gedi can walk through, it's not called an extension of the oimed, it's called a gap. But in order for the oimed to be significant enough that it's called a mechitza on its own right, that if you have a kerem, a vineyard on one side, that you can plant anything on the other side, there you need something much more significant than just the fact that a gedi can walk through. And there even the chachomim agree, you need four tfachim, which is already a significant shir. That's how Abaye explained the braisa. Rav Omar. Rava said, no, the truth is the whole Braisa could be following Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that in truth, real significance is four tfachim. And that's why from four tfachim you can plant keneged oimed, it's a significant oimed. Why then in the beginning do we say that when it comes to lovud, it's three tfachim? We know Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says lovud is four tfachim. Rava Omar mid the sefer of Shimon ben Gamliel, Reisha Nami of Shimon ben Gamliel. Vechi Omar of Shimon ben Gamliel, Omrinon Lovud, Hanamil Lemailo. When does Rav Shimon ben Gamliel say that up to four tfachim? Only four tfachim is called significant, and therefore up to four tfachim you say Lovud. When is that? When it's high up. We've seen this concept already before. Avalamata, but if it's on the ground, according to the Chachomim, the amount that a gdi, if a kid can walk through, that determines lovud. That's what the Halacha Moshe Mesinai was. And therefore, that's what's called significance as far as these halachas are. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he says, significant gap, even gaps where we want to use lovud, up to four tfachim is an insignificant gap, and you do say lovud. But there's another condition. If a gedi can walk through, and there Rav Shimon ben Gamliel agrees that a gedi can walk through from three tfachim, if a gedi can walk through, then the very fact that a gedi can walk through already takes away the title, the status of mechitza. Because you can't have a mechitza that animals can walk straight through. That's not called a partition. So when the lovud we're trying to use is on the ground, where kids can go through, there even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel will agree that in spite of the fact that normally lovud is till four tfachim, if the kids can go through, we don't say lovud, and the mechitza is not considered a good mechitza. And therefore the beginning of the braisa here, where we're talking about lovud, is up to three tfachim, even according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. When talking about what's called significance, that you can plant on the other side of the wall, there it's four tfachim. Because the Braisa is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, so explains Rava. Continues the Gemara Toshima. Defanois halolu, and we've seen this already on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Defanois halolu, if you have walls which are supposed to comprise a mechitza, sherubon psochim, most of the circumference of the area is doors, v'chaloinois, or windows, which means it's porots, muta. You're allowed, nonetheless, you're allowed to carry inside the area enclosed by these walls. But on condition that there's more oimed than porots. The Gemara says that it doesn't make sense. You can't even read that. First you say, rubon psochim v'chaloinus, that most of the circumference, most of the parameter is is Pesach, is open, is Psochim, is Porot, and then you say it needs to be Oymed Merubah. How do you read that? Sherubon Sol Kadaitach, most of the circumference is Psochim. That's not Oymed Merubah. Elo Sheriba Behen Psochim Vachaloinois Mutter. The way you have to read it is that if you have a Daifen, a wall, that you made a lot, not that most of it is Psochim and Chaloinois, not you put into it a lot of Psochim and Chaloinois, Mutter, when, on what condition are you allowed to carry inside the area? Ubrivachi Oymed Merubah Laporot, on condition that the Oymed is Merubah Laporot. There's less gap than Oymed. So what do we see from there? Ha kaparot osur. If it was exactly 50-50, it would be osur. Tuv to the Rav Papa. Here's another question on Rav Papa. Rav Papa said that parot ka oymed is mutter. And here you see that it's only mutter if it's oymed merubah la parot. Tuvta. We don't have an answer for that. There's no way to answer Rav Papa. V'hilchasakov said Rav Papa. And Alokha's like Rav Papa. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. Tiyufta v'ilchasa? On the same line, first you say that we have an unanswerable question. You refuted Rav Papa from a brisa, and then the second later you say that Alokha is like Rav Papa. Says the Gemara, in, yes, we don't have a problem with that. Mishum d'daika masnisin kavosei. We have a Mishnah that seems to be saying, like Rav Papa says, what does it say in the Mishnah? Ditnan, lo yiu pirtsa is yaseiris al abinyan. The problem is always going to be if you have a mechitza where the piritza, the gaps, are more than the built-up part, then it's a problem. So you see in the Mishnah, ha'ak binyan, if it's exactly 50-50, mutter is going to be mutter. So you see from the Mishnah, like Rav Papa, that porot ka'imed is called a good mechitza, it's mutter. So even though we have a good question without an answer from a braisa, we have a Mishnah that's following this opinion, and that's the halacha. Continues the next Mishnah. Makifin shloisho chavolim zu ze lemailo mize ze lemailo mize. We're talking here about a mechitza, and every mechitza, a solid mechitza, is solid. If it's not solid, it can either be made of uprights called shesi, reeds, or anything else, like we saw before, saddles, or whatever it may be, upright posts, and in between one upright and the next, there's a gap, and then we have to make sure, is it lovud, is there not lovud, is it porot merubah lo imed, are the gaps too wide, more than 10 amas, is there tzuras ha-pesach, etc. But that's called oimed, making a mechitza of only oimdim. And it's called a mechitza gerua, it's not such a good mechitza. An ideal mechitza is either a solid mechitza or shesi v'erev. Shesi uprights, v'erev are the horizontal bars. If you have a crisscross of shesi v'erev, and the gaps between every shesi and every erev is less than 3 tvachim, and we use lovud, so to speak, to solidify the whole thing, that's good mechitza. But if you're only using shesi, or only using erev, then it's a little bit more complicated, it's not such a good wall, and there's going to be certain cases where we're not going to rely on it, because it's not such a good wall. Here we're going to discuss a wall, not of shesi, of uprights, but of erev. How do you make a wall just of horizontal bars? Yeah, if you put strings up, and a string could be a millimeter, could be a fraction wide. But how do you make a wall just with strings? So the most ideal would be every 2 tvachim, or every less than 3 tvachim, put up a string, make sure the top string is 10 tvachim or above, and then you have a wall of 10 tvachim using lovud. Lovud in and of its own doesn't need to have shesi v'erev. Even if you have one string and another string below it, as long as you don't have 3 tvachim in between them, you can use lovud. So the Mishnah explains, makifin, you can encircle the entire area you want to turn into Roshos HaYochid, shloisho chavolim, with 3 strings, ze lemailo mize, one above the other, all horizontal, v'ze lemailo mize, ubilvat shelo yehu bein chevel lechaver shloisha tvachim, but make sure you do not have 3 tvachim between one string and the next. Shiur chavolim v'oivyon, yeser al tefach, kedei sheyehu akol asara tvachim. So the Mishnah is adding on, if you want to get to 10 tvachim with only 3 strings, if you want to use 4 strings, you don't have a problem at all. You put in, you make, let's say, 2¾ tefachim off the ground, you put a string, and then another 2¾ tefachim, and then a string, and another 2¾ tefachim, and then a string, and another 2¾ tefachim, and a string, you'll get to your 10 tefachim using lavut. But the Mishnah is talking about 3 chavolim. If you have 3 chavolim, how are you ever going to get to 10 tefachim? So that's why the Mishnah says it has to be that the sum total of the width of these strings is going to be a tefach and 3 mashos. Why? Mashu is a fraction. And that mashu is how much less than 3 tefachim is lavud. So if you have just under 3 tefachim gap, and then you have 1 chevel, just under 3 tefachim gap, and another chevel, just under 3 tefachim gap, and another chevel, another rope, what have you got here? You've got 9 tefachim less 3 mashus where the top string is off the ground. That's not enough for mechitza, you need 10 tefachim. So it must be that the ropes, the strings that we're using, all together comprise a width of a tefach plus 3 mashus, and providing the gap is a mashu less than 3 tefachim, the top of the top rope will hit 10 tefachim, and that's a good mechitza. Another halacha, and now we're talking about shesi, a mechitza of only uprights, makifin bekonim. You can encircle an area with just reeds, upright, or bilvad shelo yehei bein kono lechaveiro shlosha tefachim. Make sure that between one reed and the next, you don't have 3 tefachim. If you have 3 tefachim, you won't have lavud. You're going to have a problem that the reeds are very narrow, the gaps are more than 3 tefachim, and therefore you'll have porot meruba la'oimid, and it's going to be possible. Now the Gemara is saying another point. B'shayora dibru. And it seems that what the Mishnah means is that the fact that we allow you to use just oriv, or just shesi, just uprights, or just horizontal strings, is only when a rabbim need it. When a lot of people need it, 3 or more people need it, it's called a shayora, it's a caravan of people, it's a group of people. A group of people need it, the chachomim will make it. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that you're only allowed to use such a type of mechitza of either shesi or erev, only if it's for a shayora. The Chachomim argue the Rabbi Yehuda and say lo dibru b'shayora elo bohive, because this Mishnah is really a continuation of the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis was talking about what can a caravan shayora shechonzo bebiko, a caravan that camped out in an open field, what can they do to create a rishus hayochid? So Rabbi Yehuda understood that this Mishnah is a direct continuation from there. And you're only allowed to use such a type of wall if it's for a shayora, not for an individual. The Chacham say, no, we were talking about a shayora, we're talking about a caravan of people, just because they are typically those who, on the way, they stop and they need to make a rishus hayochid. It's not something that would typically happen to a person who's going on his own, or two people traveling together. It wouldn't normally happen to them. So it's dibra, loy dibru b'shayora ela b'hoive, it's just, that's a typical type of, a common type of scenario. Continues the Mishnah, kol mechitza she'eino shel shesi v'shel erev, any mechitza which isn't both shesi and erev, which means a weaker type of mechitza, eino mechitza divi Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says that any type of mechitza that's either shesi or erev is not considered a mechitza. V'chachomim oimrim echod mishnei dvorim. Again, the Chachomim say that any one is enough, either Shesi or Erev is always good enough and is always a good mechitza. Let's see this in the Gemara. Omar Rav Amnuna Omar Rav, who said in the name of Rav as follows, Hare Omru, we saw in Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, Oimed Meruba Ala Porutz B'Shesi, Hava Oimed. We already saw that if you have more Oimed than Porutz, then Beshesi, which means on horizontal, on vertical. We're talking there about the saddles. If you remember the Mishnah there, we had the Shayora, Shechonza Babiko, Vikifu Abigamalim. And there we're talking about where you have only uprights. If you have only uprights, and we saw, make sure that you've either, there's less than 3 tefachim between one and the next, or make sure that it's Oimed Meruba Ala Porutz. So as far as the uprights are concerned, we know that Oimed Meruba Ala Porutz is enough. So if you have a wall of 5 amas wide, of which 2¾ of the 5 amas is Oimed with anything you want, and the rest of it, the 2 1/4 that are remaining, are gaps, it's okay. But the Gemara is now asking now, Rav Huna, boy, Rav Amnuna, but Erev Mai. What happens if you have a wall that's only made of horizontal? Can you say Porutz Merubah Lo'i made or not? Interesting question. Omar Abaya. And let's remember, we've said this before, if the gaps are less than 3 tefachim, it's not called porot. It's called an extension of the oimed. So in the case we mentioned in the Mishnah here with the strings, if you don't have 3 tefachim between one string and the next, it's not a discussion of porot murubah lo'oimed. The whole thing is called oimed. It's completely considered solid. That's the chiddush of lovod. The question is, what happens if within a 10 tefachim height, you have just over 5 tefachim of oimed, but you have a minimum of porots, and we're not a minimum of porots vertically, a minimum of porots horizontally. We're going to try and see what case you have. Where do you have such a scenario? Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Toshma, Shiur chavolim v'oivyon yeser al tefach. Sheyu akoil asor tefachim. We saw in our Mishnah, the only way that you can have a wall with horizontal strings that it's kosher, which means that you have a wall of 10 tefachim high and it's kosher, is only if the strings themselves comprise the tefach and a bit, which is missing. Because we had 3 gaps from the floor to the first string, from the first string to the second string, from the second string to the third string. Each gap is less than 3 tefachim. We need 10 tefachim. We're missing a tefach and a bit. That's how wide these strings have to be. Okay, that's what we saw in the Mishnah. Ve'im Isa, if you say that horizontally, you can also say that oimed merubala porot is enough, mostly full is enough. If so, lomoli yeser al tefach. Why do I need the strings to measure, to add up to a tefach and a bit? Levit pochis mishloisham v'chevel. Yeah, for off the ground, just under 3 tefachim, and you put a string mashahu, without any substantial thickness to the string. Upochis mishloisha, and then you have another 3 tefachim, just under 3 tefachim, v'chevel, and another string. Also mashu, no substantial height. Upochis mi'arba, and now leave a gap of just under 4 tefachim, v'chevel mashu, and put a string there. You'll have your 10 tefachim. What's the problem? What are you going to say that the 4 tefachim gap is not lovod? Okay, so it's not lovod. So what is it? Porot. Okay, so it's porot. You have 2 sets of lovod underneath it. So you have 6 tefachim of lovod, which means oimed. And you have 4 tefachim of porot. So what? So it's oimed merubala porot. So to just leave the top gap will be 4 tefachim, and it'll be kosher in the event that you say oimed merubala porot works even horizontally. So we have proof from the fact the Mishnah didn't say that, and the Mishnah said we need the each and every gap to be less than 3 tefachim, and the straps, the thickness of the strings themselves, have to make up the last tefach and a bit. You see from there that we do not say oimed merubah laporot works on horizontal wall, on a wall that's made of horizontal strings. Says the Gemara, v'tizbara. This is no. Don't bring me proof from the Mishnah. Because how are you going to work this out? It's true that you brought proof from the Mishnah and you suggested that the top gap should be 4 tefachim. But let's see, can the top gap be 4 tefachim? And if the top gap cannot be 4 tefachim, can the middle gap be 4 tefachim? Let's see what's going on here. Where are you going to put these 4 tefachim? If you're going to put the 4 tefachim gap right at the bottom. So you have a gap of 4 tefachim, which is not lovod, it's a real gap. And then you have another 2 gaps on top of it, each of just under 3 tefachim. So the top part, which has the lovod, is almost 6 tefachim. It's oimed, meruba, and the porots is 4 tefachim underneath. So you're going to, which would, it would seem that that's an idea. It says, no, even without porots, meruba, la oimed, let's say that without oimed, meruba, la porots, let's say that you do say oimed merubah laporot on such a wall. We have another problem, that it's a wall that doesn't reach the ground. And the wall that doesn't reach the ground, if it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, the kids can go underneath it. And that alone demolishes the status of wall. It's not considered a wall anymore. So it doesn't help if you say porutz muruba la oimed, oimed muruba la porutz. Tachlis is that it's a gap of three tvachim. Is even if you have a whole 10 tvachim wall and a gap of more than three tvachim underneath it, it's not going to be kosher. It's called a mechitza tluya. If you're going to put the four tefach gap right at the bottom, it's like a wall, a partition, that the kids can go straight through, and therefore it's not a valid mechitza. Are you going to put it as we suggested before, that the top gap is going to be four tefachim? Then, osi avira dahai gisa, udahai gisa, umavatli, we've already seen this before. It says, if you don't have lavud, it's considered a gap, it's considered porots. That means this string, the string itself, has a piritza above it, till the sky, has a piritza underneath it, for tvachim. If you have any solid where the airspace on both sides, on either side, is wider than the oimed, then the airspace on this side, together with the airspace on that side, totally disregards the oimid. So you've got that avira, the air, the high gisa on one side, the high gisa, mevatele. So the top string is going to be disregarded, and then you're not going to have a wall of 10 tvachim. Imoikim leba mitzia, maybe you should have a gap of less than 3 tvachim at the bottom. Now the gedi can't go through. It's less than 3 tvachim, and then a string, and then a gap of 4 tvachim, it's called porots, and then a gap of 3 tvachim, which is called oimed, it's lovud. So now I've got the gap in the middle. So you haven't got avira dahai gisa and avira dahai gisa, because underneath it you don't have avira, you have a lovud. On top of it you don't have avira, you have lovud. So this, let's say that the four tvachim is going to be in the middle. Havale oimed muruba ala porot mishtei ruchis. Over here, we have another case. Normally, oimed muruba ala porot means that any oimed has to be wider than the piritza, than the gap next to it. What happens, and we've discussed this before, if you have a case where the piritza is 6 tvachim, for example, and you have 4 tvachim oimed on either side, is that called oimed muruba ala porot? The piritza is wider than either of the sides. If you add the two sides together, then the two oimdim together is muruba on the porot is more than the gap. Do we say that? Can we add two oimdim together in order to become a muruba, to become a majority more than the porot? That was a discussion. It's a machlokes. Havale oimed muruba ala porot mishtei ruchis. If you have 3 tvachim at the top, or just under 3 tvachim at the top, just under 3 tvachim at the bottom, and a gap of 4 tvachim in the middle, is that called oimed muruba ala porot? It's only called oimed muruba ala porot mishnei ruchis, if you add together the two sides. And v'chi shomas minei, oimed muruba ala porot mishnei ruchis hava oimed, are you suggesting that indeed that's what we should be saying here? Yuriv Amnuna, when you wanted to say oimed muruba ala porot, or you, more accurately, when you wanted to bring proof from our Mishnah, Abaya wanted to bring proof from our Mishnah, what was Abaya suggesting? That you should have a gap of 4 tvachim, and the Mishnah doesn't say that, so you bring proof from the Mishnah that you don't say oimed muruba ala porot by Shesi, by Erev, by horizontally, but what did Abaya suggest? If we would say oimed muruba ala porot, what would it be? It would have to be like this. The 4 tvachim gap is in the middle. So that means you're suggesting that you use a concept of oimed muruba ala porot mishtei ruchis. Is that what you're suggesting? We don't rule that way. The loch is oimed muruba ala porot mishtei ruchis is not called oimed muruba. So you Abaya, what's your proof from the Mishnah? How could you have used these three strings any other way than the Mishnah used it? Even if you were to say that theoretically oimed muruba ala porot would work by erev, by horizontal strings, but you don't have such a case. Where are you going to put the 4 tvachim if you're talking about strings? It can't work, so you can't bring me proof from the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about strings. The only way with strings that you can have 10 tvachim is like it says in the Mishnah. And even if you were to use oimed muruba ala porot, it wouldn't help you. You have no such case. Elo Rav Amnuna hocha komi boile. Rav Amnuna was not asking about strings. With strings, you're right. there's no way of using oimed meruba laparot. We have to make the whole wall oimed. We have to use a full 10 tvachim of either the oimed of the straps themselves or the oimed of the lovot. But what was Rav Amnon's question? Hocha komi boile. Kegoin de aisi machzeles de have zayin or mashu. We're talking about oimed meruba. His question was oimed meruba laparot by erev, horizontally, but not with strings. What happens if you had a mat? The mat itself was just over 7 tvachim, let's call it wide. Or just in order we should understand what we're talking about, let's call it 7 and a bit tvachim high. If you're holding the mat in front of you, so to speak, comprising a part of a wall, so you have a 7 tvachim high mat facing you. And what did he do? The chokak po gimel. Just he left a frame all the way around, and just above the frame that he's left at the bottom of this mat, he's cut away 3 tvachim height of the whole width of this machzeles, of this mat. The whole width going from right to left, you have 4 tvachim mat. We said this mat was 7 and a bit tvachim high. The first 4 tvachim of the mat he left whole. It's solid, it's oimed, nothing to do with lovud. It's oimed on its own right, it's 4 tvachim. Then he made a gap, he cut away a whole Chokak bo gimel. He cut away 3 tvachim, which means that the gap between the top of what he cut away and the bottom of what he cut away is actually going to be called a pirtza, because it's 3 tvachim, there's no lovod there. So you have a oimed of 4 tvachim, then you have a pirtza of 3 tvachim, and then you have a little bit of mat that he left at the bottom, a mashu of the mat that he left, that's so to speak considered like a chevel, like a string. The shavak bo dalad umashu. So what's left of the mat is 4 tvachim at the top and the mashu underneath these 3 tvachim. Vo'ikmu, and where did he position this mat? Bepochis migimel. He positioned this mat just under 3 tvachim off the ground. So you have lovud from the ground until the bottom of this machzeles. That's considered oimid. Less than 3 tvachim is lovud. And then you have a gap of 3 tvachim that's called porots. And then you have a 4 tvachim oimed, the solid part of the mat, that's oimed. So how much oimed have you got? Just under 3 tvachim at the bottom, 4 tvachim at the top, that's about 7 tvachim, 3 tvachim porots in the middle. Do you say oimed meruba la porots or not? That was Rav Nuna's question. That's one way of understanding Rav Nuna's question. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says no. Rav Amnona was asking a different question. Mechitza tluya iboile. When he was saying, do you say oimed meruba la porots, was talking about when you have a suspended wall. Kedaboye mine Rabbi Tavla mirav. Similar to what Rabbi Tavla asked Rav, mechitza tluya mahu shetatir b'churva. He asked Rav, is a suspended wall in a churva, if you have a ruins, a broken building, and parts of the top of the walls are still there, but the walls are hanging down, but they're not actually reaching the ground. So it's a mechitza that's hanging up, it's suspended. Can the area inside these mechitzas be considered a rishus hayochid or not? Omale, Rav answered to Rabbi Tavla, ein mechitza tluya materes, that a suspended wall is never matir as a rishus hayochid, elo b'mayim, only unless it's suspended over water, and there kalhu shekilu chachomim b'mayim, the chachomim had a leniency in order people should be able to draw water to have what to drink from. They had a certain leniency there, but otherwise a mechitza tluya is not considered a good mechitza. So that suspended mechitza, and that's what Rav Amnona was asking when he was wondering whether horizontally you say oimed meruba la porots. That was his question. When you have a wall suspended and a gap underneath it, is it a good mechitza? A typical mechitza tluya, the mechitza itself would be 10 tvachim high. Tluya means it's suspended, it means it's more than 3 tvachim off the ground. So relative to the entire height, you've got an oimed meruba la porots. You've got more wall than gap underneath it. And that was Rav Amnona's question. Continues the Gemara. Makifin bekonim v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that the Mishnah said that you can, if you have upright reeds, you can have lots and lots of these reeds encircling an area, and it will become a Rosh Hashayochid, providing that you have no less, no, you have no, providing you do not have three tefachim between one reed and the next, and then you have lavud. And then the Mishnah continued, b'shayora dibru, that these leniencies, these types of walls that are either just oriv or just shesi, just upright, so just horizontal, they are only talking about a shayora, divrei Rebbe Yehuda, as we saw. Says the Gemara, b'shayora, and this is now quoting Rebbe Yehuda, b'shayora in b'yochid loy. Rebbe Yehuda holds that when you're allowed to use a wall which is either shesi or erev, only if there's a rabbim, if there's three people or more who need to use it. But if an individual or two individuals need to use it, loy, then according to Rebbe Yehuda, we would not rely on such a wall. Votanya, this seems to contradict the Braisa. The Braisa says, Rebbe Yehuda oimir kol mechitza is Shabbos. Any mechitza in Hilchas Shabbos, lo yitiru lo yochid yoisa mibeis asayim. Then for a yochid, an individual, we don't ever allow a person to carry more than a base or saim, an area that you can plant two saw of produce in it, which is 100 amas by 50 amas. That area is as much as we allow a single individual to carry within mechitzos. Not more than that. But you see that up to a base or saim, kol mechitzos a Shabbos, any mechitzos you're allowed to carry. And this is Rabbi Yehuda. And in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that a yochid cannot rely on these mechitzos at all, even up to Beis Asayim. Answers the Gemara, Kada Omer of Nachman v'Temer of Bivi Bar Abaya. We'll soon see where of Nachman or of Bivi Bar Abaya said this, but they said, Lo nitzrecho elo litoin lehem kol tzorkon. When it says in the Mishnah, B'shayora yes, a yochid not, that means to give them as much as they want. But a limited use of up to Beis Asayim, that we do give him. In order to give them as much as they want to use, that only for a shayora, not for a private person. But a private person can use such a mechitza up to Beis Asayim. Where's the source of this difference? Where do we find that there's a difference between an individual who only can use up to Beis Asayim, but a rabbim who can use more? Yeah, ahad etnan. They said this on a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol mechitza she'eino shel shesi ve'erev. Any mechitza which is not both shesi and erev, a solid wall, eino mechitza, is not considered a mechitza in Hilchas Shabbos, divi Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda. We saw that in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, who happens to be the son of that Rabbi Yehuda, we'll soon see what difference that makes. But according to Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, you need a shesi and erev. If you have any one of them, it's not called a mechitza. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Umiyom Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda hachi, this seems to contradict an explicit braisa v'otani we learned, echod yochid ve'echod shayora, irrespective of whether it's a private person or a caravan, a group of three people or more, l'chavolim, that they can use strings, which is only erev, in order to make a mechitza. So you see clearly that you can use a mechitza of just erev, just horizontal, even for a private person. Uma bin yochid l'shayora, what difference is there between the strings that a single person can use or a shayora? Yochid noisin le'beis asayim. A single person can only carry up to beis asayim. Shnayim, if it's two people, it's also considered like an individual. Noisnim lehem beis asayim. Between them, they have a beis asayim. Gimel, if there's three, nasu shayora, they are considered a shayora, it's already a rabbim. Noisnim lehem beis shesh. Divir beis yubiuda. Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda says that if there's a shayora, they can have up to six saw. That means three times beis asayim. That's Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachomim oimrim, the chachomim argue and say, echod yochid v'echod shayora, noisim len kol tzorkom. The chachomim say, it doesn't matter if the wall is just shesi, just erev, it doesn't matter if it's a yochid, if it's a rabbim, you can use it kol tzorkom. However, the Chachomim learn, if you have two, the shear of Beis Asayim, which is what typically a single person would use, or would use for himself, if you have a base of sign more than you need, at that point, even the Chachomim agree, you cannot carry that. Omer of Nachman, v'itemer of Bibi Barabaya, lo nitzricho elo litenem kol tzorkon. Because we ask a contradiction. We just saw in the Braisa here, according to Yosi ber Yehuda, he says explicitly that for a yochid, you can have base of sign, for a shayora, you can have six saw, which is three times a base of sa'im. That's all very good. How are you explaining our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says explicitly, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said, that if it's either Shesi or Erev, kol mechitza she'eino shel Shesi v'shel Erev, if it's not both Shesi and Erev, eino mechitza, it's not called a mechitza. And here you have a braisa where Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said explicitly, it is called a mechitza. This is where Rav Nachman says, I'll tell you the difference. The Mishnah is talking about giving you as much as you want. No. For there, Rabbi Yosi says that if it's a wall which is only Shesi, only Erev, you cannot have as much as you want. How much can you have? As much as you need. The minimum that you need. How much do you need? For that, he said in the Braisa, that one person, Beis HaSayim, two people, Beis HaSayim, three people, six, etc. So we see that when we explained Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda, Rav Nachman was forced to say that there's a difference between the Mishnah that's talking about being able to use it as much as you want and the Braisa that's talking about the minimum use. If so, we're going to say the same with Rabbi Yehuda. Even though Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that b'shayora dibru, that you can only a shayora can use such a wall, and the Braisa that we asked a question on Rabbi Yehuda that says kol mechitza is Shabbos, a yochid can use it up to Beis HaSayim. Yeah, because again, the Mishnah is talking about being able to use it as much as you want. That's only a shayora. For to use it a minimum that you need, that's up to Beis HaSayim, and that's the braisa. And Yemir Tzeshem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.